Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
It was the coldest night you remember, on the darkest new moon, the longest day of December. Well, you couldn't be proud enough, and your conscience wasn't loud enough to look out one now when everything you thought you knew is running out. And there's blood on your hands. Now you wanna forget everything, where you came from, what you know inside, and what's hiding behind your pride. Well, the ocean's never deep enough, and you can't cry yourself to sleep enough to work out what now, and everything you thought you knew just ran out.
Probably hearing in the background there's heavy jackhammering, and that ain't me. It's my neighbors are reconstructing some building, tearing it up or whatever, so bear with me. Hopefully that won't be such a abstract here for our conversation, or get you all wondering what the hell is this technical difficulty again. Anyway, again, I want to thank you all for listening, and of course, that you were just listening to Angie Matson's song, December, and I just thought it was more quite poignant since we're now coming into springtime, and in the cold weather of winter is gone behind us. And of course, I just want to let you all give you a quick announcement. Angie Matson's about to release in June 8th her new album, Skeleton Arm, which I look forward to hearing. And, of course, I've heard many of her soul songs. She played live a couple weeks ago here in Los Angeles. And other little announcement I want to tell you is I know I was telling you about Masonic Temple. Of course, you heard that from with my intro inclusion with Blind, which is from their album Follow Me. And you can always check them out, of course, myspace.com/mastem. Well, Shane, their lead guitarist, was seriously injured last fall. He injured his knee. But I hear he's healing quite fast, and he will be back in the U.S. of A. I'll let you all know. Of course, he'll be back with the MT to start their new recording and completing of their new recording for their new LP, as well as touring here. And I will keep you posted of it. There's another thing I wanted to really quickly get into before I know I have a very, very special guest coming on. And it just happened by chance. I was looking at Huffington Post, which I look at all blogs, whether they're so-called liberal or conservative or whatever. But it was amazing what popped on. I saw this site, and bear with me, you guys. You should all write this down and check it out, especially those living in the United States. It is called maplight.org, maplight.org. And it very much details where the monies, who's getting what from what, lining their pockets in Congress to vote one way or the other. It literally goes in detail the amount and from where. It is amazing. And you, it doesn't matter whether you see them as Democrats or Republicans, they're all the same. They're all just whores asking for the highest bidder, and that's how they vote. More recently, I mean, which really astounded me is, and I'll give you an example, was Ron Paul's bill to audit the Federal Reserve, which has never happened. Nobody's really ever challenged the Federal Reserve except for JFK. And, of course, we all know what happened with him 6 months later after he put out his silver certificates. He sort of had a little drive-by in Dallas. And, of course, the certificates were immediately removed, and his executive order was rescinded by LBJ. But anyway, his Ron Paul's Federal Reserve Appearance Act of 2009, it was after pockets. In fact, everyone's pockets. And it didn't matter whether you're liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, they're all the same. Here, I'll give you an example. Maxine Waters, who's supposed to be a true blue people's person representing the people, and she got 16,000. Nancy Pelosi, 48,000. Those are two Democrats. A Republican, Dreyer, he got 20,000. Baucus, another Republican, 106,000. Cardoza, Democrats, 34. Eric Cantor, one of the leading members in Congress, a Republican, got 91,000. Himes, a Democrat, 200,000. Hoyer, 100,000. Mark Kirk, who is a Republican, 129,000. See, it didn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. They all took the gold. And you know what happened with that Reserve Act. It was gone. And then you can look into what's going on with health care and people going, oh, they're trying to shove it down our throat. They're shoving out basically nothing. It's a joke. I mean, if you look at the new health care reform act, it's basically a joke. It's not even real reform. And if you check out the numbers, go to the same thing. You can check it out. It's so amazing. You will see the total no's, the ones that said absolutely no reform, and you'll see, which is usually all the Republicans, and you'll see a really high amount of money each one of them received. Now, a little bit less money, but not the same as Republicans. The Democrats received a whole lot of money. Of course, you know what they did. That was why the public option for us, so we have an option, the American way of doing things, an option to choose to have their same health care plan that they seem to enjoy, was quickly dropped from the health reform initiative because, Dems got some cash too. Not as much as the Republicans, but they got enough to shut that thing down. So I just wanted to check that out. I even just started. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other bills we can check out off of that and see what monies they've been receiving. And it just makes things more transparent to what things are really happening. It's better to be aware of what's going on and not close your eyes and see what's real. And you should pass this down around to your friends and neighbors or whoever, family members. Go look at, again, the website is maplight.org, maplight.org. It's totally transparent. It is non-partisan. It's not Democrat, Republican. It's not neocon, conservative, or liberal or libertarian. Just here it is. So, and anyway, on another note, I want you all, if you have any questions as usual or comments, feel free to email me. My throat's still a little messed up, trying to get the cure of this little frog in my throat. Seems doesn't want to disappear. But send me your email if you got questions, comments. Like I said, at flyingpigs@artlover.com. And like I said, feel free to ask questions or even future ideas or whatever you have on your mind. I will try as best as possible to get back with you. I always do, and within time. Now, I have a very, very special guest. I've had her a quarterly, almost seems like, whether it's the Equinox or the whatever ox, you know, in the quarter of the year to tell us, like solstice or whatever, to give analysis of the next couple, 3 months, and so far she's been highly accurate. She has also done analysis on candidates before the elections back in 2007. And you can hear that, and it was highly accurate. Even exposed what was happening with John Edwards and his tendency to have a special affair, which turned out to be true. It showed how Obama and, of course, there was also Thompson were the lead candidates who had the most likely chance of winning. Guess what? Thompson dropped out, and guess who emerged? So it was amazing. Her analysis has come highly accurate and highly, there, right there in front of you. So you should check her out after the close. We'll give her contact information. She does an amazing, like I said, astral analysis, astrological analysis, and also is quite intuitive. So with that, I want to thank Carrie Fezzer for coming on my show. Carrie, are you still there?
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. I have a lot of stuff to talk about today, and it's interesting you mentioned healthcare because that shows up so prominently in this chart. As you know, I do a chart, you know, like you said, every 3 months, and I sort of focus on that time period for what's going on with us as a nation, but you can also apply it, you know, to yourself personally. And for all the astrologers out there, I wrote a really technical report, which I hope to have up on my website by tomorrow, zodiacbuzz.com, under Astro News and Events. And I put in the technical jargon, but just for your listeners today, as far as a location, most to do an astrological chart, usually you have to have a location. What I do is just a solar chart, so you can apply it anywhere. With the sun is going into Aries, which is why we're celebrating the vernal equinox, the first day of spring. So I just use a chart that starts with Aries on the first house. Apply the current planetary picture to it. Look at the aspects and relationship of the planets to each other. And then I like to take the USA's chart, Gemini rising chart, and integrate those planets and look at all the aspects between that. And that's how I derive my analysis.
Wow. That sounds really complicated for someone who would be a novice. But so what is your, like, what's coming up within the 3 months? I know you said it was focal point on, you said something with the healthcare. Could you maybe go into that, but also go into maybe the other aspects that you may have found within next 3 months, I guess?
Yeah, like I said, healthcare, to me, now this is just my interpretation. There's so much information here. This is a really powerful chart, and there's probably stuff I've missed too, but I tried to incorporate everything. And healthcare really emerged as a burgeoning issue, and I have a lot to say about that. Of course, is there ever a time when I don't have a lot to say? But when we look at the zero Aries point, it not only is the first day of spring, but it's the beginning of the zodiacal new year. The zodiac starts at zero Aries, so zero Aries point is the most crucial point of the whole zodiac, and it's a very crucial time of year. So when you look at this chart, it becomes very powerful out of all the equinox and solstice reports. Another thing that I want to mention is that affects all the charts that I've been doing on your show is when Pluto went into Capricorn in November of 2008, we did a special show on that alone because Pluto into Capricorn being the sign of corporate America, representing, you know, big companies. It almost timed out exactly with the downturn in economics and the things that have going on with the big corporations.
And it's still happening with Toyota and every, who would have thought with Toyota's cars being now not the most reliable and all the other corporations are now being affected. I mean, it's what you said. I remember back then you were saying how people are going to be changing their views on the corporate world, and it really amazingly is. People are really questioning, I think, of our economy and how it's set up, not just in this country, but worldwide. I mean, in specific, like Goldman Sachs and what's happened with Greece, for example. But do go on. I'm sorry. It's amazing. That was really highly accurate.
Well, it's still in play because Pluto is so far from Earth. Its orbits in one sign last a long time because it is the furthest planet out, and because of its distance from Earth and its slow rotation, it moves very slowly. So not only is it still at the very beginning of Capricorn, Capricorn is a major angle in the chart. It factors in the winter solstice. All the cardinal signs are what denote the solstice and equinox report, Capricorn, Aries, Cancer, and Libra. And because Capricorn's such a major player, and Pluto's not only in Capricorn, it sits really close to the angle, making it even more powerful. It plays a big role in all these charts. Now, the energy connected with Pluto is power, control, and annihilation, and then rebuilding out of the ashes. Its symbolism is Phoenix, and it's the ruler of the planet Scorpio. So it's very intense. So when you factor Pluto into any of these equinox or solstice reports, it has a major impact. As we look at the spring equinox, Pluto is in a harsh angle to the Aries axis. What makes this even more interesting is now we factor in the planet Saturn, which represents many things, among them restriction, delays, authority figures, but also buildings, structure. It's retrograde right now, so we're focusing on rebuilding and restructuring. But Saturn has about a 2.5-year orbit in each sign, and it's just moved into the sign of Libra. So it's directly opposite the sun entering Aries. It's what we call literally an opposition in the chart. So looking as the sun representing us as a nation, as a country, we're directly opposed by Saturn, which is authority figures, the more conservative side of politics or the conservative side of the government. And this is also being challenged by the planet Pluto, which is what we call a key square. So Pluto power, transformation, it also represents terrorism, is at the height of the chart, and it's in strong conflict to the Aries sun and the Saturn opposition. So that can to me, with the Saturn retrograde, reinforces we're going to have the same enemies as we've had before. Well, there might be some new enemies, but we're looking at the same old enemies and the same old kind of resistance. And one of the places resistance comes up is in healthcare, of course. And another interesting factor is the planet Uranus. Uranus is the unconventional. It's the unexpected. It rules new age thought and thinking outside the box. And even though it's in the sign of Pisces, it's in such a late degree that it actually is close enough to the sun at the zero Aries point to factor in. It's what we call a conjunction when two planets sit next to each other. So the sun conjunct Uranus right at the crucial zero Aries point is opposite Saturn and factors in with the Pluto square. Now Uranus, again, is the unconventional. It's next to the sun, which is the new age, new thinking, and new thought process versus Saturn, the conservative side. So you have the old guard versus the new guard. This same configuration was in place back in the 60s. We had a lot
it's almost like you had mentioned this before that we were heading toward that, like back in the late 60s, we were heading back into that new thoughts or challenging old ways and things like that. And now here you're talking about confrontation between those in authority to new ideologies and new understandings. Is that what basically your premise?
Yeah, and I have said it before, and it's still factoring in. Around June and July, Jupiter, the planet associated with luck and abundance, which is hiding in the 12th house, which is secrets and hidden enemies, but also spirituality and creating things, behind the scenes or in secret, Jupiter expands things. Jupiter and Uranus are going to cross over the zero Aries point. Uranus will do it in June, when that's when we'll revisit this for the summer solstice, and that'll be a very interesting chart, because what we see initiated now around this time period will be reinforced or will take on new meanings. And with Uranus there, it can really shake things up. Uranus also, too, on the ascendant, which is the most powerful point of the chart, conjunct the sun, it can talk, you know, we've had a couple of major earthquakes, which you added to my prediction back in December. You talked about natural disasters, and you were right on the money. Uranus rules earthquakes, also explosions, and because it's on the ascendant of this chart, I feel like the next big earthquake will probably happen on home turf. Instead of reaching out to other countries and other nations, we'll have to gather our own resources, and unfortunately, I think we're looking for more natural disasters on our home turf.
Yeah, not just one, but I think there's going to be, unfortunately, a lot, specifically around the Mississippi area, and a lot of more hurricanes and tornadoes. And I think that there's, I mean, this is all I feel, I still see a earthquake on the east side, not on the west side. And that's actually what's going to cause a paramount of disaster. And unfortunately, that's the way the earth is moving and shifting. And I think a lot of our energies are shifting in that direction for many different reasons. But yeah, that seems to correlate. So there is going to be a major things coming to a head, I think, what you're saying, basically, within June. And also, you brought in the thing about Jupiter of being more transparency of what, like, this facade of we're supposedly getting a health care reform when we know it got, you know, quickly diluted, and now they're still calling reform, and it was just basically to placate, you know, those in power, which I had already forementioned, but I think more people are going to be aware and maybe confrontational over it. And I think it's not just, it's going to be both the people who were lied to by both, whether it's conservative or supposedly liberal, both are going to be shown their true, what do they say, the emperor has no clothes. We're going to see that they really don't have clothes. So that's,
well, let's get back to the healthcare, because when I look at healthcare in a chart, I look at the asteroid Chiron. I use the asteroid Chiron in addition to the 10 planets. You okay there?
Yeah, go ahead.
How's your health?
Yeah, speaking of it, trying to get rid of this. I've had this for like a week now, and I thought it was going away, but it's still hanging in there, but it's almost gone, but it's better. Thanks.
Well, you might want to look at Chiron in your own chart. Chiron looks like a K with a little key on the bottom of it, and it's spelled Chiron. A lot of people pronounce it Chiron, but it's really pronounced Chiron. And it represents wounds and healing. So it's technically referred to as the wounded healer. It's the part of the chart in our personal chart that's a wound that always needs healing, and a lot of times it's connected with past life wounds. But for all intents and purposes in this chart, we can look at it as related to healthcare, and it's interesting. It's sitting in the sky with the planet Neptune right now, which Neptune rules many things, but among them is healing and spirituality. Sometimes Neptune is the modern ruler of Pisces. It dissolves boundaries and it rules transparency and illusions. So when Neptune comes into the health environment, sometimes things are hard to diagnose. Neptune and Chiron are sitting, again, conjunct or next to each other in the zodiac. And they're in a square, which is a harsh aspect to the moon in this chart. And the moon falls in the financial sector, so we could be spending a lot of money trying to get this healthcare objective across. Now, Chiron in the USA chart, where Chiron was when the USA was born back in 1776, actually falls in the same house as the Sun, Mercury, and Venus. Having Mercury and Venus in Aries with the Sun gives us a lot of hope and maybe false optimism. But because it is there with Chiron, I think it's going to talk about the optimism towards the healthcare debate and trying to get it passed. Now, there's a lot of positive aspects going on, too. The moon in the current vernal equinox chart is in a nice tight, happy aspect to the Uranus, which is, we talked about playing a major role being on the angle conjunct the sun in this chart. So there could be some unexpected things coming in from behind the scenes. Also, the moon.
When's this about? When approximately this is supposed to be happening?
Well, this, I'm predicting it over the next 3 months because we're looking at this 3 months window of time. But we will revisit probably this issue when we do the summer solstice report.
Oh, so it's not really just 1 month. It can be within the range of 3 months, unexpected news or whatever. Basically.
Something unexpectedly or someone can impact our resources in a positive way. Also, we have a couple of what's called grand trine, which is a super powerful, majorly positive aspect in the chart. The moon in the vernal equinox chart, which represents home, country, families, family health care, is in our house of personal resources, and it trines USA Pluto up in the 10th house, which is actually in the same sign as our, where the vernal equinox Pluto is now. So that's up there in the public sector of power and control, and that forms a grand trine with USA Neptune, which is where Neptune was when our country was born. Neptune, again, ruling healing, and it falls in the 6th house of health. So with the right amount of resources and the right amount of power, we can pass some major objectives. But Neptune, USA Neptune, in the 6th house of health is exactly opposite the modern-day Uranus on the ascendant. So Uranus being new, unconventional, Neptune dissolving boundaries, to me that opposition speaks to hugely because it falls in the sign of Virgo, alternative health care, you know, alternative health care, which we're talking about legalizing marijuana now and the benefits that it can bestow and how that can help our economy if we were to legalize it.
Well, it's so funny because that's coming up in California's, in June, California's elections, I believe it's in June, for that to become fully legalized in California.
And where we would formerly see that as totally inappropriate, now it's starting to make sense. And, of course, with the Saturn opposition to it, you're going to have authority figures and people from the old guard saying, oh, no, you know. But look at, I think that the Neptune in the sky right now, where it sits with Chiron, in a tough angle to the moon in the second house, is the challenge of the big pharmaceutical companies and all the repercussions that can come out of that. My girlfriend worked for a huge pharmaceutical company for 18 years and just got laid off because Pfizer came in and took them over. Again, the downfall of corporate America. People, you know, are having to change because they're being forced out of their jobs. So I think there is issues, another key word for Neptune, with modern pharmaceuticology, if that's the right word. It is great. We've made great advances with technology, and that's also represented by Uranus. But we have to go outside the box now and go back to simplistic things like marijuana. I don't smoke marijuana. I don't advocate marijuana. But I think, you know, that alone and hemp products in the Go Green movement, it's going to make a lot more sense, and it's a simple, natural resource that grows fast. But it has to be used in the right context. And what Saturn can provide that Neptune can't is boundaries.
So in layman's term, because it sounds really, everybody is probably going, wow, it sounds pretty convoluted. But so in layman's term, what do you think then, if you were to encapsulate all this, what would you feel what this is all means for the coming months?
In layman's terms, I think it means kind of exactly what I said. I think we're going to see products like marijuana become legalized, which before would be unheard of. But it's a natural resource. It makes a lot more sense. It's going to be challenged by conservatives.
Mm-hmm. And what about
the old guard?
And this is specifically you're talking, and this is like because you're saying your focus is basically whatever it is in with that realm of healthcare, challenging old ideologies of healthcare.
And even though we look at modern, you know, pharmaceuticals, the big pharmacy countries, if you just watch 1 hour of TV, there's usually ads for like two or three big new breakthroughs. But then a couple of years down the road, you always see that the FDA is recalling these products. And if you watch these ads closely, they have side effects like lymphoma and even death. Hello, if death is a side effect, I might want to look for an alternative source. And I think we're going to find a lot more alternative healthcare methods, just using marijuana as being one example. So not only trying to get this healthcare movement passed or trying to define it and create something, I think it's going to go much more beyond that, new ways of thinking, opening new doors, looking for beyond medication. A lot of people are just shunning medication altogether because it treats the symptoms without curing the disease.
Well,
and again,
they think it's a magic pill. They take the pill, it's done.
And it does work for a lot of great. We've made some great breakthroughs that are keeping people alive for a long time. Like people with HIV don't have a death sentence hanging over their head. There is great breakthroughs, but again, once it takes on the attitude of big business, corporate America, that's when we start to see it decline and not work out. There's just so much in this chart. We could talk about it all afternoon.
What about the economy? What do you think? What does it show within the next 3 months with the economy? Because I know a lot of people, obviously, there are a lot of people without jobs and concerned about their general economical welfare. What do you see within those 3 months?
Well, the economy is going to play a big role in this chart, but it's all about our economy. Everything basically in this chart is focused on us and on ourselves. I see, personally, I don't pick up a lot in this chart on foreign affairs, the war in Iraq, money coming through our enemies or our allies. We're pretty much have to be self-sufficient and independent. Again, we have the elements here of restructuring and rebuilding, but we're still in a place with the economy where I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And you know me as a person. I'm a natural optimist. I don't like to come out and be a big doom and gloom sayer. We have a lot of positive aspects and planet as a country to remain hugely optimistic, sometimes overly optimistic or falsely optimistic, which shows up again very strong in this chart, and that can be our undoing. We have to be careful not to delude ourselves into thinking, oh, it's going to be okay right away. It's not. It's going to require downsizing, scaling back. And we talked about this, again, I don't want to sound repetitive, but these are recurring themes with the planet Pluto and Capricorn. And you factor in some of the other planets, and it just reinforces that. There are some things we do have to look forward to, though. There's always something that comes up in these charts about the youth, our younger generation, and celebrities, as you know, sports heroes and sports figures really play a prominent role in our modern culture. And you're going to see that. Like, if you can get a celebrity behind your cause or a prominent sports figure, they can play a large role in the media. You know, the media can be our worst enemy or our best friend. It's very good at distorting things and blowing things out of proportion. So the media can go either way. That plays a large role in this chart. But popular cultural figures, if you can get them behind an ideology or a cause, they can go a long way to swaying public opinion, but ultimately, I don't think it will have a big impact on the ultimate outcome.
So, what about what about politically? So, politically, it's just what sounds like your people are going to just be somewhat sort of the '60s challenging authority in that sense. The issue is a lot of focus on. Things with corporations, the changes, and then there's the healthcare thing, which you had just mentioned. What about the in a individualistic or spiritual context of how what the cosmos basically it shows? If you were to say, hey, if this was a person, you were sitting there, and this is based upon analysis, what would you say spiritually in context? What would be? what would be their learning experience from it?
Well, it comes back to the Chiron principle of the wound that never heals. We're healing a lot of wounds. A lot of them are financial. And as an individual, Chiron connected to Neptune, the planet of spirituality, to me, spirituality is the healer of all things, especially addiction. Addiction is very prevalent in our society right now. And we're not only, a friend of mine, Larry Williamson, he's the owner and operator of Sky Bear Astrology. I publish his new moon reports every month. And he pointed out our addiction to technology. You know how much time we spend on Facebook? How much time we spend emailing? YouTube. We reference everything on the internet to the point where it's become an addiction. So however you want to apply the addiction principle, that's one of the things we're healing. And we also got very accustomed in the late 90s and the early 2000s to bigger is better. And with the downturn in the economy, we have to learn to live on less. And for some people, that's really hard. And the people, I think, that are becoming most impacted are those that work for big business, work for big corporations, and just aren't ready to let go of that lifestyle. And that can be applied very personally on an individual basis, looking for the joy in life that doesn't come from material things. And I don't know if it's just because it's a big part of my world, there's been a large focus on spirituality, being grateful for what you do have as opposed to what you don't have.
It's basically, it's a momentum to move people from focusing on their hypothetical and illusionary thinking or perception that happiness is a Mercedes-Benz and a big huge house and, you know, and et cetera, the material ends. But as opposed to getting stripped down a little bit of your material ends and being, first of all, grateful for what you do have, but also focusing on bettering yourself as an individual, both in healing process and also by your action as well. Is that basically what you're trying to say?
Yeah, and that is just hugely reinforced this year with Jupiter, the planet that expands, in the sign of Pisces, which is the ultimate spiritual sign, higher-minded. And getting back to the 60s philosophy comes up really strong again of being united, the collective unconscious. What the attitudes and energy we put out there affects everybody. So be careful of your thoughts and your feelings and how you handle your life, because it's going to have a larger impact on the collective, which is kind of philosophical philosophy, you know, combined with metaphysics. But it's prevalent, and it carries over into mundane subjects like the environment. We're all a lot more aware of what's going into the environment, the green movement. What we do impacts the collective as a whole. You know, recycling. Been a big issue, talking about it since the 70s, but we're at the point, I don't know, we've talked about this before, I think this was a hot topic the last time we got together on your show, but how a lot of the climate change and the go green really isn't as substantial as the powers that be, again, Pluto, make it out to be.
Right.
But it is still something we all have to be aware of.
Or rather, it's there, but it's not, they're trying to make it human cause. As paramount, as opposed to in reality, it isn't. And it was funny because it became transparent, and that there was financial gain and the cause and effect by why, you know, people like Al Gore were trying to benefit and others financially, and also while taxing and more controlling of people on the mass, not just in the United States but worldwide. But What about issues of going, since Pluto, I know, is energy, what about finding and discovering and utilizing the free energy and the capabilities we do have, like electromagnetic, geothermal, anti-gravitational, solar, wind, et cetera?
Well, I think that's magnified again by Uranus in Pisces. Uranus is the inventor. when Uranus was discovered, we had the Industrial Revolution right thereafter. So, again, it's going outside the norm and bringing new things, new technologies into existence. And right now, it sits in the sign of Pisces, which is the higher-minded and spirituality. So even though mundane things now, new inventions, things that are clinical and technical, are still, again, connected to the new spiritual consciousness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So do you see them being more, because there we do already have the technologies, but do you see it being more exposed to where they're going to say, oh, okay, you know, you're going to see more openness to utilizing this type of energy as opposed to petrol or even nuclear, but moving toward something that we have, excuse me, other capabilities?
I think we're in the infancy stages of that. I think we'll see more of that over the summer, and we'll have that'll become much more prevalent between the summer solstice and the fall equinox. Because right now Uranus is kind of hidden in the 12th house. As it goes over the ascendant, the most important point of the chart, it'll those technologies and everything Uranus represents, unconventionality, technologies, new age thinking, that'll all come into the light.
Hmm.
Right now we're spending money on it. We're creating it. But I don't think we'll see as much progress as maybe you would want in the next 3 months. But it's definitely the idea is planted. You're just a very, you yourself, you personally are a very forward-thinking individual. You grasp all these concepts.
But my question is, see, a lot of these technologies already exist, and we already have the capabilities. The problem is having the populace forcing the issue to force it to become a reality. Because if this were to become a reality, it would definitely challenge those who are in authority in the first place. Because once those become effect, then it would diminish and change our economics as we know as they exist. I mean, it'll basically, in really rapid function, deteriorate the need for a monetary system. It would revolve immediately to a resource system really quickly. If we utilize free energy, for example, which we do have the capability. So that's my question, is that you're saying it would be starting or acknowledging or what? That's what I'm trying to get clear. I'm not gathering you on.
I think it's already in the making, but it's not going to come into prominence. It's not going to be utilized within the next 3 months.
Okay.
It will definitely be continued to be challenged, but in order
baby
for that,
steps.
Many
baby steps.
Yeah. You're not going to see that within the next 3 months. The way to get this through, though, the way to get it moving, the way to maybe energize that is to put it in the hands of younger people, give college students the ability to work with it, put it in the hands of our youth. And
make it an issue.
However you want to say it, and get some celebrity endorsement behind it, some entertainment figures, some sports figures, to bring it into the media. There's a lot that can be done with the media over the next 3 months. It can make it break us.
Now, what about people who have projects that are either completion or about starting, like let's say if somebody were to complete a book, a movie, a project, starting a corporation, sorry, the frog is still in my throat, but it would start right now. Like if they had something that was manifesting that just now, finish, and now it start. If falling within this month being, or within this area, which you would say, which is Aries, or is going to be Aries, you know, in the next couple of days, what happens to projects or things that manifest and start within this period?
That is more of an individual basis, because that would depend on your own personal chart and birth date, which I can do for you. ZodiacBuzz.com. I mean, you can't. You'd have.
But
to
what
take,
about people in general? Like I'm saying, if people like out there start something, whatever they're, you know, they're tired of being unemployed, or they're trying to start a new business, or whatever. So, because you said that, like, this is the, whatever you do now will be, or comes out of this period, is definitely a forefixture what will happen down the line, because it's Aries being the, I guess, the beginning or whatever you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, but I you can't apply an individual, any, it's always a good time to start something between the new moon and the full moon. The Aries point in the chart, which is the spring equinox, vernal equinox, mm-hmm. is a new beginning in the zodiac, but it's not necessarily the best time for a Libra person to start something. You have to, would have to take the individual's planets and apply this chart to it. You can apply this energy on an individual basis, like what I'm talking about, whatever, you know, it's going to have an effect on all of us, but apply individual horoscopes to that, because every sign has a different starting point, ending point, highlight point.
So it depends, depending everybody, even though, so the personally, it's not really, on a very personal nature, it's not really poignant, but on a general aspect, what you're talking about is out of a more of a theme of everybody.
Yeah, the theme for the next 3 months, how it affects us as a nation. Now, you can apply this personally to a certain extent, but if you really are up against some individual challenges or dilemmas, you'd want to address your personal horoscope, which I do. But what I also offer is monthly horoscopes that focus on each sun sign, and you can again, it's on my website and it's free. You can see what is best for your sun sign at this time. If you want, I can go around and do a little individual forecast for each sign real quick.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, we only have 10 minutes, so go for it.
Yeah,
be curious.
Let's apply it individually. Okay, let's start with Aries, because that's your sign and my sign. This is our time of year. So it's a great time for Aries and people like us to initiate things. It's our time for new beginnings, because it's our birthday, and your birthday is your new year, not necessarily the calendar new year, but your birthday. So we have a lot of positive planets for communication, pleasure, doing things, and with Uranus so close to the sign of Aries and entering our sign this year, we want to think outside the box and branch out in different directions. For Tauruses, with this chart, Taurus is going to fall within the next 3 months, new beginning. So as of May, it's a great time for Taurus to begin new things. The moon in this chart of the vernal equinox falls in Taurus. There's going to be a strong focus on finances, especially for Aries, but it's a good time for Tauruses to focus on home and family issues. Geminis catch a bit of a break. They've been through a lot of things. With this chart, there's going to be a strong influence on friends, friendships, and group activities. So Geminis are great, 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 fabulous networkers anyway. And this is an optimum season, let's call it a season, this three-month period, to be out there networking, making new contacts, and getting their voice across. Cancers are going through some very personal karmic changes. If you believe in past lives, some of the challenges they're experiencing are coming from past lives, so they're hard to pinpoint. On the flip side, it's a very fortunate time for partnership for them, and the focus now is on their career, moving forward in their career. For Leos, Mars has been in their sign for a long time, and it's finally gone direct. So they have a lot more energy, a lot more enthusiasm, a lot more drive, and a lot more ambition, especially as it pertains to legal, spiritual, foreign, and higher educational affairs. It's also an excellent season for them for long-distance travel. You just got to be careful with Mars that you don't go too fast and get in your own way if you're a Leo. For Virgos, they're breathing a little bit of fresh air because Saturn has left their sign, but it will retrograde back into their sign this year for a little bit of time, giving them one last reality check and time to straighten something out that may not have been completed. But with the spring equinox in Aries, the focus is on joint finances, shared resources, and those kind of affairs like inheritances or investments. For Libras, the focus right now is all about partnerships and attracting others to you that are beneficial and that can help you out. Libras are all about partnership anyway, so this is a really great time of year for them when things can come to a head or come to fruition. For Scorpios, the focus is on work and health. Time to implement some new health objectives. Health should be good. They'll have a lot more energy, a lot more vitality, and they'll be looking to better themselves in the work environment. It's a very positive time for them. For Sagittarians, this equinox time period is a lot about romance, initiating new romantic connections, focusing on the romantic side of life, anything that's pleasurable, creative, or artistic. It's also a great time for Sagittarians for their children, so they can look forward to that. Capricorns, of course, are experiencing the Pluto effect. That'll be in their sign for a long time to come. It's all about personal transformation. The North Node, which is the destiny point, which is, talks about where you should be heading in life, is helping them with this Pluto energy. The focus right now for them is home, family, and real estate endeavors, all which should be very positive at this time. Where they're running into some challenges is in the career sector. For Aquarians, they're going through the healing and spirituality issues. The Aries focus puts a strong emphasis for them on communication and networking. So they'd be really wise to hook up with Geminis. A lot of things going on for the air signs. If you need to publicize something, if you need to get a word out, befriend an air sign, Libra, Gemini, or Aquarius, and you can't go wrong. If you're going to hire an agent or a publicist, hire an Aquarian or a Gemini. They have excellent networking opportunities at this time. And for Pisces this year, this spring equinox, there's a strong focus on finances and bettering themselves financially. So it's an excellent time for Pisces to get out there and pursue career goals, financial goals, whatever they want to do. I'm competing with the jackhammer.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Luck is with Pisces this year because Jupiter is in their sign. But they also have to be careful because they're prone to excess, and Jupiter can expand things. So it might be a year of weight gain or excess, but if they can harness it and keep good boundaries within them, they are very fortunate this year. And Uranus still stays in their sign. It dips into Aries for a little bit, making their financial picture a little unstable over the summer. But overall, they should be very enlightened and have some great prospects this year, especially if they want to go back to school or advance their education. And that's a quick tour around the zodiac as it applies to the equinox.
Wow. See, so I can see there definitely is a big difference for each one of them individually as per, yeah, I see what you're talking about. But God, it's pretty enlightening. So, in general speaking, and you were talking before, like the issues of basically we're coming to the age of Aquarius, so to speak, as they would sing back in air, or the flower children and all that stuff. It's a groovy time. So that's basically you're saying we're reinventing, coming back to the age of late 60s of that, or not going into detail that were the 60s, but having that same sort of energy around the next few months, basically.
Combined, though, as also the late 60s with all the turmoil that was prevalent at that time. There was a lot going on with the Vietnam War, the desire to overthrow the government. There was a lot of turmoil back then, and I think we're going to see some of that too. How it might manifest over the next 3 months is in the form of natural disasters too. Everything's very personal to us in this season, and it's up to us to make the changes and deal with the challenges is how I would say it. But we're very optimistic as a country, and we are the United States of America. Together we stand, united we fall.
Wow. How would you think this will all, like, with the United States and the people in the United States and without what the energies are unfolding within the next 3 months based upon the cosmics, how would that affect worldwide? Because we are connected. How would that affect, let's say, you know, Europe, Asia, Middle East, and so on and so, in your perspective?
Well, there's a lot of different indications here. As far as especially the healthcare debate goes, and Pluto being very prominent in this chart, people could look to us to fail on a huge scale. But even if we do, we will rebuild out of the ashes and I loved your term, reinvent ourselves. But we also, if we apply the right energy and the right resources and don't waste our resources or put any further damage on our economy, we can achieve our objectives and, you know, reclaim our spot as a superpower.
Huh.
No chart is ever perfect. There are some challenging aspects in here, but there's also some really great and beneficial aspects. So it's up to us how we channel that energy, and a lot of that falls on our government. But we are a democracy, and we do have the power to elect our officials.
What officials? We don't have. We have to change the way we have choices, because it seems the people we have to choose are already pre-selected for us to choose. Therefore, we don't really have much of a choice.
That's
it's
a
like,
whole nother show.
Yeah. But how would everyone out there, let's say if they wanted to contact you worldwide or within the United States, contact you to perhaps get have you do either a reading or do an astrological analysis or horoscope or natal chart?
Oh, easy. I can be reached anywhere in the world that you can dial out on a 1-800 number. It's toll-free, 866-395-1340. And you're welcome to email me at leorising, L-E-O-R-I-S-I-N-G, 67, the two numbers, 67, at yahoo.com. And if you're interested in looking at my website and seeing what I have to offer, it's zodiacbuzz.com, zodiacbuzz.com. We've changed the look. It's nice. It's streamlined. It's easy to follow. And I always hope to have the latest information up on there, and I'll have my written report up this weekend.
So, but I heard Carrie through some bird whistling in the back of my ear that you've been doing some other stuff besides doing astrological and intuitive advisory. What else have you been up to?
Well, I'm branching out into the world of interior design. My new site is called Intuitive Interiors, and my goal is to not only help people decorate their space, but also redecorate it, do it within people's budgets. Because of the economy and because people are facing, you know, economic challenges, I want to make my designs affordable and use my intuition to help with that. I'm also knowledgeable in feng shui, so I can help you decorate or redesign your space to help improve your finances, your love life, your career. There's a lot of different places you can go with that. So I'm just working on starting my business, and you're welcome to check out intuitiveinterior.com, especially
wow.
If you're in the Las Vegas area. And you can still same number, 866-395-1340.
Wow, sounds like you're really branching out and busy. Anyway, Carrie, once again, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on to my show. It was, again, highly enlightening. And, you know, all those out there, if you lost some information, I know Carrie got extremely detailed, but what it is, it's telling you exactly how it is, and you can always re-listen it to it when it pops up in the archive, which should be within a couple of days, usually by Saturday, Sunday, Monday latest. So if you lost something or didn't understand something, you could always go back. And also the information to contact Carrie is on there as well as on my my page, as you can see. So you can always contact her. You can contact her through zodiac.buzz Or if you want, you can always contact through me at flyingpigs.lover.com, and I can always forward you her information so you can reconnect. So there's many avenues. Again, Carrie, I want to thank you once again for coming on my show. And with that, again, I apologize for my throat. I can't apologize for the jackhammer because there's nothing I could do about that. But I'm glad you all bared with it, all that hammering and chiseling. It's chiseling to a new beginning, I guess. And with that, God bless you all and have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I close with Ruby Friedman Orchestra's Hang Around. And hang around we will. Take care. God bless you all. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
I'm busier than you are, so don't expect a call. Everybody wants some, but no one gets it all. So I'm tired, I wonder, why am I afraid of it all? You cut the pain in half.